The federal government says its controversial robo-debt system will continue to operate despite a landmark ruling in the federal court yesterday, which found a key component of the system is unlawful. The court found that a debt raised on the basis of income averaging was not valid because it could not be proved that the amount allegedly owed was accurate. It's the second blow to the government's program in the space of a week after the government itself froze debt recovery and confirmed major changes to the scheme. Terry Carney is a former member of the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, which has heard challenges against robo-debts. He's now an Emeritus Professor of Law at the University of Sydney. Terry Carney, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Cathy.
Now, the government has already announced this major overhaul of robo-debt. It's now hit with this ruling by the federal court. Have we seen the end of the robo-debt program?
Well, the two things, of course, are directly linked. The change that the government made was made the morning after the government folded any attempt to defend that action in the federal court. It's just that it's taken 6 or 7 days for the formal orders to be set down and approved by the judge.
Okay. Go on.
Have we seen the end? Every lawyer in the country certainly hopes so, because what the judge has found is, as you summarised, that the averaging that comes from the tax office is no evidence at all. And secondly, the judge also found that it's the government that bears the onus of proof. And not having any evidence from the robo-debt system, there's no way in which the robo-debt system as it's operated to date can possibly be continued in that form. What the government has to do is go back to finding and proving the income that the person has in each and every fortnight of any debt that they propose to raise, and to also refund all the up to 300 or 400,000 people who have these debts already repaid or hanging over their heads, where they are not in the position to be able to prove any or all of the fortnights in question. All of that money is required to be refunded. And look, are we at the end of it? That was your question.
Yes.
I don't know, because look, the minister either hasn't read or hasn't understood why the government was obliged to collapse its case and why the judge has endorsed what it was ruled yesterday, because the minister keeps talking about finding additional proof points. No, minister, you must find all the proof points. Unless you have all the proof points, a debt cannot be raised. I mean, it's crystal clear in what the judge handed down yesterday, and the government needs to swallow its pride, appreciate that it's had it's been an emperor without any legal clothes, and it's been found out, and it better put the system back on a proper legal foundation.
Certainly now we've got this court ruling, which has, you know, extraordinary substance in terms of this program going forward.
Yeah.
This is an argument, though, that's been put forward for quite some time now by you and others. Should the government have seen this coming?
Well, the government certainly should have seen it coming. I
know the government has been arguing that it got legal advice to say that it was lawful.
Well, it's interesting. The Attorney General, in an interview with The Guardian, said they only had internal legal advice until very recently, and the very recent, of course, is advice about whether they should try to continue to defend the indefensible in the case that's just been ruled on. So should they have had legal advice, external, independent legal advice? Of course they should have. And they've known for 2.5 years the arguments that the judge has just endorsed. I mean, I set them out in print, but other senior lawyers, QCs and so on around the country have set out exactly the same arguments on paper, in print, for everybody to read. So it's not as though it's taken them by surprise. The argument has been there for anybody to check and decide whether they thought it was correct or not.
Well, certainly in a statement, the Government Services Minister Stuart Roberts says his department will keep using income averaging, as one of the ways that it engages with welfare recipients. How can the practice still be used given this court ruling, or is the government opening itself up now to even further claims?
Well, it may be risking further claims. There's no difficulty about taking the average as a basis for making an inquiry. That's what happened before robo-debt was introduced. And in 7% of all the data matches, the government went on to satisfy its legal obligation to prove what the income was that the person who was the alleged debtor might have had in each and every one of the fortnights of any debt that they were raising. And they did that in 7% of the cases, and that was, they used very extreme powers. They can compel employers to provide payslips. They can compel banks to provide bank records, which will, if the person seeks them from up to 7 or more years ago, cost quite a lot of money for to obtain from banks. So in the past, the government had no difficulty in using its powers to collect the evidence that was needed to prove a debt, as indeed is its obligation. It bears the burden, the obligation of proving the debt. What robo-debt did was unlawfully reverse the onus and say, oh, look, it could be that you owe us some money. Prove to us that you don't. And that's just not what the law provides.
On top of this case, there's also a class action that's been launched by Gordon Legal. I think there's something like 4,000 plaintiffs. What does yesterday's ruling mean for other people who've already paid a robo-debt?
Well, it means two things. It means, first of all, that there's protection should the government shilly-shally and not do the right thing and follow the ruling that was handed down yesterday. And secondly, makes a claim to ensure that, for example, as in the case yesterday, that when people get their money back, they get the government paying interest on the money that they've been unlawfully holding. And the class action also includes a claim for compensation for the people who've been greatly traumatised by having a robo-debt unlawfully raised against them. For example, a lawyer, if when a student had a robo-debt raised against them, that's a matter that they have to clear up and explain away before they can be admitted to practice. It goes to the very essence of the responsibility that a lawyer as a professional owes to the public. So understandably, somebody who has a false debt unlawfully raised against them gets very anxious, and those kinds of damages and concerns can be the basis for compensation to be paid. And that's what, amongst other things, the class action is saying the government must do.
So, Terry, what is your advice to people who might receive a debt notice? What action should they take to ensure that they, in fact, owe money to the government? Because clearly there are circumstances where people do owe the government money. They've been overpaid.
Oh, of course. And look, if they have the records to hand, then they should upload them on the website that exists to enable that to be done. But that will be the case usually only for the last 6 months or 12 months or so. And these debts, as I say, go back to 2010 routinely. In any case where they don't have the documents, they should request that Centrelink uses its powers to obtain the information that's missing. And if Centrelink continues to refuse to do that, they should request an authorised review officer review. That's an internal but independent statutory process that must be followed before, if that doesn't resolve the matter, before applying free of charge to the very informal first level of the Administrative Appeals Tribunal. And there's been some evidence in Senate hearings that Centrelink, when those requests come in, either doesn't always understand them or certainly doesn't always accede to them. The law is very clear about that too. It's a set of appeal rights that every Australian Social Security recipient has, and that's the kind of action that if people are running into strife, that's the kind of thing that they should be doing.
Terry Carney, thank you for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome.
Terry Carney is a former member of the Administrative Appeals Tribunal and Emeritus Professor of Law at the University of Sydney. And we sought an interview with the Government Services Minister, Stuart Roberts. He was not available.